read me romance, read, read me romance, read me romance, read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine, or you could sit back, relax and unwind and read me romance, read me romance. Hello.
Hi. We're finally here.
I know.
Finally.
It has been a trial morning, you guys.
I know. Oh my God. Like, we must really, really want to talk to each other is all I can think after a moment like this. A moment
We had some recording issues. Landscapers showed up in my neighborhood, so there was lawnmowers and leaf blowers outside, and I mean, it's...
And Mel's in her car in 15-degree weather.
I got
so let's talk about that. So let me say something, though. Well, I saw a meme one time that said, why do I live in a place that makes my face hurt? Because it's like, it's so cold. Mel always talks about how like chapped her face is.
Yeah, it does get chapped, but I'm used to the temperature. Like, when I come to see you, it is so hot, I can't deal with it. And when you come here, you complain when it's like 40 out, and I'm like, this is wonderful. What are you talking about?
New York has those major mood swings too. Like, it's, I mean, in August, it's absolutely unbearable. It's the humidity. It's like walking through soup. Mm-hmm. And then, now it's in January, it's going to be probably where you're at now, Mel. It's going to drop.
We'll start to get negative digits. The kids don't go to school because of how cold it is, not because of the snow.
That's wild. I would protest that hard. I'd be like, I can wear sweatshirts. I need to be alone. You guys, this is the Read Me Romance podcast. This is not the Weather Channel.
This is not... No, we're your weather girls. Oh, what's that song? It's Rain and Men. Where they're like,
we're your weather girls. And we weather got girls. News for you.
Yes!
And leave your umbrellas at home. Temperature's rising.
Why do you sound like you're being really Southern right now? Are they really Southern in that song?
I feel like they're trying to sound Southern in that. I actually don't even know who sings that song. Oh, God. People are yelling it at us. I don't know, but I feel like they're putting on an accent in that, like, initial beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying to sound like weather
girls.
They're,
like, being really sassy.
Yeah.
So this is Tessa Bailey, romance author, otherwise known as Southern vocalist.
This is the Read Me Romance podcast, you guys. If you're just tuning in and you didn't tune in for the weather, you tuned in for sexy romance, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why we're here.
So we are playing Breath of Fire by Catherine Nolan this week.
I know.
You guys are in for a treat.
And this is the first book I've ever read by her.
Mm-hmm.
This is the very first one. I'm super excited. I finished it last night, wait until the last minute to do my homework. But I read it last night, and it was really cute. And I actually thought, while I was reading it, I was like, this is a lot like how Mel would write. Like, as I was going through, I was like, she would really like this story because it's, just her style of writing.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really sweet. When I was reading, I was like, oh, I really like this. It's so nice. And I thought, oh, that's why I like it. So, yeah, it was really good.
We kind of had like a, well, this is kind of a funny situation because, so the hero's name is Sage. And we all thought that meant that was a woman. And so we all thought for a while.
All three
this
of
was,
us.
This was female-female romance.
Now, I was excited. I asked you guys last night.
We were excited.
I know, that's
for
what
it.
I was gonna say. Yeah.
I got through the
first chapter last night. Yeah, me either. I was reading it and I was like, it got through halfway through the first chapter and I was like, I text you guys and I was like, oh my God, this is the guy. Like, I didn't realize. I thought, and Tess was like, yeah, I know, that's why we got confused. We thought it was a female. But none of you guys have read that before?
No. If you guys have, if you're out there, if you have female-female romance recs, like, let us, like, hit us with them. Send us on social media. Let us know. Because we want to read it. We were excited. I mean, not that we weren't excited to read this book in general and not that it wasn't amazing, but we just,
it threw me off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got my hopes up, and then I was like, oh, shit. But then I read it and I loved it. But it was just like, I had, that was something I never knew I would have read before. Like if somebody was like, oh, there's this really good female book. And I would have been like, I'm not interested. That's not my thing. That doesn't turn me on. Like I wouldn't like that. But then as I was reading it, it sounded really romantic. And then I realized it was a guy and I was like, oh, okay, that's different. But then the story turned out amazing. And I was like, well, now I just wanted to write a female because this story was so good. Yeah. Like maybe she can have a sister. Or something.
Oh, she can write extra characters?
Yeah, this is proof, but we can't.
This is proof that I like need to work on myself too, because I was like, I immediately assumed because Sage is a yoga instructor that it was a woman. And so like, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can always improve on your, what's it called? The double standards.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I was just going to say too that we just had a heroine named Sage in Hungry for More that we just released in November. So like I had that in my brain when I saw the name Sage. I just assumed it was our heroine we had already written. So like that's immediately who I pictured in my mind.
Like, I have a Sage same heroine blonde hair. Too. I have a Sage heroine as well. I think that's why. Yeah, our brains are just predisposed to make him a woman.
Yeah,
sorry,
maybe
Sage.
That's it.
Sorry. But it turns out he's a hot, he's like a hot, sexy yeah. yoga instructor instead. And like, we're not disappointed at all.
No, because then I started reading it. And like at one point in one of the yoga classes, you guys will hear it in a little bit, but so it's not a spoiler. But at one point he takes his shirt off. And the way she talks about like, it's a dark room with like candles lit and there's like a drop of sweat going down his abs. And I was like, oh, this is nice. You know, have you guys taken yoga before?
I did once.
Yeah. What'd you think?
Nothing.
So
I did once.
I try yoga every 5 years to like, because I'm like, why don't I like this? It's quiet. It's relaxing. You get to get a mm-hmm. nice stretch. I try it every 5 years convinced like this is the time I'm going to like it. And for some reason, I cannot get into it. I don't know why.
Me neither.
I can't get out
you
of my own head.
Shut your brain
I can't
off.
Relax.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm still mm-hmm. thinking about 900 things. And so maybe it's something you have to practice to get into. Like you have to keep doing it and then you learn to relax. But I can't. I can't.
I think it's the same thing like that with meditation too. You just have, the more you practice, the better you get. Somebody had recommended a meditation meditation app.
Yeah, Calm.
And it's like, you can, yeah.
I have it too.
Yeah, that one's really nice. I like to do that sometimes in the mornings after I take the kids to school, because it's just like 10 minutes and I'll just sit there. And even if I'm just sitting in a chair or something before I start to work, it's just a nice 10 minutes to calm down. It feels good. But I don't wake up and, well, I was just going to say, you guys said the other day you wake up and check your emails and I don't do that.
Immediately.
Yeah.
The world has burned down where I slept for those 4 hours.
Yeah.
I
can't start my day like that.
I tried the Calm app and I like, you know, it's like a voice that talks to you and it's like, you're worthy of love without doing anything. And I'm like, no, you're not. I'm like, I'm just like, turn it off. I'm like, no, I'm just too much of a skeptic and too much of an asshole to like, let myself believe what the voice is telling me. So yeah, it says these nice things and I should just like, believe them.
I feel
them
like that's some
take
self-reflection.
I think it means I need therapy, you know, instead of a Calm app, but the app isn't going to cut it.
Mm-hmm. No. I enjoy yoga though. I do like it. I feel like I'm pretty flexible in general, so maybe that's why. But, you know, I've done several different types of yoga classes. I do not like hot yoga. I do not enjoy being hot. And for someone who lives in the South, that's a problem. And I did a yoga class one time that was really like a workout. Like, I was sweaty by the end of it because I was moving and stretching, and I don't like that either. I just want to lay there and have somebody say calm things.
You just want to do the corpse pose. Like,
yes, absolutely. Yeah. All the time.
There's also a scene in this book, I'm not giving anything away, where like he like massages her with while she's doing the poses. Like he massages her and like speaks soothingly mm-hmm. to her. And that's another thing I can't. It made me want a massage, but then I also realized mm-hmm. like I can't, like in the same way that I can't relax during a yoga class, I can't relax when I'm getting a massage either. Are you guys like that?
Oh.
No,
Mel will pass out. She'll let anybody rub on her. It does not, like, you could be like, oh, here's Ted Bundy. And she's like, I'm ready.
Ted Bundy, you're alive.
Lay back for it.
You can come up right by having me at a signing and start rubbing my shoulders. I'm good.
I let a foot fetishist give me a foot massage at a BDSM club once.
What?
Yeah, did that just come out of left field?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. Start again. Go back. You were where?
I was doing research for... That's how everything started. I was doing research for a BDSM series I was writing. It's called, it's like Serve series. And like, it's, you know, obviously it takes place at a BDSM club. And so I got my friend Maggie. We went to a club and, you know, I didn't know what to expect. But this, you know, this very nice gentleman asked if he could rub my feet. And I was like, I'm turned down a foot massage from anybody.
Wow.
So, yeah.
But it was like a thing, like he enjoyed it.
He just massaged my feet and I was like, this is amazing. You know, it like, wow. I obviously it was, it must have been sexual for him. It wasn't for me. It was just something I just sat there and let happen. But it was in the spirit of no judgment, you know, like that's really what it was about.
Yeah,
was like,
you're like, I'm so into this BDSM thing.
I should have come to this sooner. I'm getting a free foot massage at this place.
Well, I was going to say, how was the experience overall, though? I've never been to something like that before.
You know, I liked it because it was, like, it was genuinely no judgment. And I think people were really putting their money where their mouth was. It wasn't, there was no looky-loos except for me, I guess.
Yeah.
And everybody was really kind to each other. And I feel like there was some people I spoke to that, you know, I think you're always like, oh, I think maybe this person needs to talk to somebody or talk more about why they have this thing that they want to do.
Yeah.
But that's not really what it's about. It's about rejoicing in this kink you have and like letting it letting it out, letting you be yourself. And so I like really enjoyed it. I think it's great that people have a space like that where they can go and
have an accepting
explore.
Place to go
to.
There's
nothing, it just felt, it just, I like knowing that world exists. I like knowing it's there.
Yeah. I feel like that's the way it is with romance when we write it.
I was
it,
about
you know?
To say that.
Yeah. Like when we write, you know, we have a series that's the Forced Submission series. And it's, you know, I'm not sure, but dubious consent. I don't know. Like Mel and I both have talked about this to a huge extent amount of time. So, you know. We both like these types of books. Like they're a forced submission book, where when you're reading it, you're like, oh my God. And, you know, we put a twist on the end of it to make them okay for Amazon standards, you know, but we get shamed a lot for those books, you know, for writing those style of books, even though we like them. So, you
know, it's a safe place.
Yeah, exactly.
To do it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we actually got a letter this week. I mean, we might as well talk about it. And it was a really friendly letter from, because this week, Sky Warren's book, Heavy Equipment, is playing. It's like, we're coming to you from the future. But this week, right now, in real time, you know, is Sky Warren's week. And it's a really good book. And we all loved it. And readers are enjoying the shit out of it. We did have one really friendly, well-constructed letter or email that was sent to us. And we actually, like, me and the girl that emailed, obviously I would never say her name, but, you know, we had a really just constructive conversation. She was kind of concerned about there being a lack of consent in the book. And, you know, I think that consent in real life is 1000% important at all times. But I do think that that romance is a space where you should be able to explore these things that excite you sexually or that you enjoy sexually. And you should be able to do it without any kind of judgment. And, you know, that's what we're kind of going to push some boundaries on this podcast. We're not going to judge people for what they like. And I said that to her and she kind of was like, that's a different perspective. I swear I have not never occurred to me that, you know, exploring your sexuality, even if it is controversial, is its own form of kind of feminism and just taking control and taking ownership of your sexuality and not feeling shamed for it. And she, like, really was like receptive to hear. She was super receptive to it. And I was like,
I didn't know that she responded back.
She did. Awesome. And it was, like, a really nice conversation. Like, two people with two different points of view that came together and were like, I hear you. And she was like, I hear you, too. And it was really nice. And I was like,
that's really nice. Yeah.
You know, now that I think about it, before I really got it into the book world, I never talked about those dark fantasies within anybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd never give them voice until I met people in this community who enjoyed the same things that I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I can talk about this.
Yeah, it's like you didn't realize that there was so many other people that felt the same way. Mm-hmm. And then when you realized it, it just become, yeah, it's empowering in a way, you know?
Yeah. But I like that she responded to that. That's really great. I mean, it's just, you know, I think it's, I don't want to say it's up to us, but I feel like it's up to romance authors, you know, to sort of, you know, open the stage for things like this. Because if you like it, odds are somebody out there likes it. Because I say all the time that, you know, romance is like porn. You're not going to write one that hasn't been written, and you're not going to invent something that somebody hasn't gotten off to. But it's just, you know, is the way that you write it, do people like that?
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, if you can write this in something you like and in a kink that you enjoy in a way that, you know, makes people happy, then hell yeah, like, let's get to it.
It's so funny how we started off talking about, do you guys like yoga? And now we're in like,
no, I think we started with the weather.
We started with the weather. We dipped into yoga, and then we took a hard left into submission.
I know, but I like that though, because I feel like, you know, the past couple of weeks that, you know, we've been recording and the books that we've gotten into, you know, there's a lot of stuff, like, even with, who did we record with last week? Was it Katie's book that was last week? Katie Roberts?
Katie, no, I think if you're thinking of Kay Webster's book, maybe Red
Hot Winter. Where the husband, no, the one that, the husband died.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kennedy Ryan's book, Swipe.
Yeah.
Yes. So, like, that one, you know, is a hard thing for some people to read, you know, so that, like, a dead ex or a spouse that's passed away or those kind of things. Like, you know, there's a lot of books that we have, you know, on this podcast. They're, you know, people might think they're hard limits and, or a book that's not safe, you know, where it's like, you know, just to say, you know, in this book this week with Catherine's, the couples are apart for like 6 years and they do date other people. And a lot of people are like, you know, I'm hardcore. I won't read anything that's not safe. You know, I won't read anything where, you know, if they've, you know, been with other people while they're apart, like that's not, and that might not be for you and that might be your hard limit, but I feel like this is also a way for you to kind of tiptoe into that and think, well, maybe it's not so bad all the time, you know, or, you know, maybe this is like an exception because I like that it's in this format and it is a safe place and it's, you know, you're being gently eased into it.
Yeah, and maybe I can still fully believe in this happily ever after, even if they went off and lived their own lives for 6 years, you know?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, that's... It, like,
it might just happen.
I do know this is... I do know romance novel is an escape from real life, and so me saying, oh, because mm-hmm. that's real life, that's not... That doesn't help, you know?
It's okay to have your fantasy the way you want it.
So this book, it takes place in a fictional town called Playa de Vieja in California.
I did see she mentioned La Jolla, and I was like, oh, La Jolla, shout out, up in there, because I pronounced it La Jolla to a bus driver, and he looked at me like I was a dickhead.
Well. Yeah, so I was thinking about, it actually sounds exactly like the town where I grew up in. I grew up in Carlsbad, California, and it sounds just like it. And where I want you guys to describe the towns you live in. Like, Mel, where do you, like, what's the town you live in? Like, what's it like?
I live in a small town where everybody kind of knows everybody. And I'm outside of a big city, so you can get away into the city if you want, or you can have this small-time feel out here, but it's country.
Yeah, super country.
Yeah, and we don't have any, like, a Walmart or Target or anything like that. We have two restaurants, maybe. We got a Price Chopper a couple years ago. We were super excited about that.
Leah, what's your town like? Wait, Leah, this is bothering me. Is Kelly Pickler from your town or not?
Yes, she is. Okay. Yes, she is. When that was the first thing, I came to this town one time before we moved here permanently. So I came to visit it with my husband when he did his job interview, and then we rode around, and then that he got the job, and so we moved. And that was the first thing I saw when we drove into downtown. There's a big sign in a little park that says the home of Kelly Pickler. So, I mean, just for those of you who know. And LB, who does the theme song, has met her. So she said she's really great. So
I voted for her when she was on American Idol. Yeah. If you guys don't know who Kelly Pickler is, she's a country singer, but she started on American Idol, and she kind of got this reputation early on in the show of being like, kind of like, you know, just... Well, what do you think? Like, kind of a Jessica Simpson type? Kind of, I don't know. Yeah, she kind of got, like, they portrayed her to be kind of a little bit of a, kind of a, airheady.
She's very smart. She wouldn't have gotten as far as she had if she wasn't smart. I think she just played up the right angle for herself. Uh-huh. But, no, so the town I live in, yes, Albemarle, North Carolina. It's very small, but it's just outside Charlotte. It's about an hour outside of Charlotte, so it's not too bad. And Charlotte has everything. And, I mean, it's a small town. Like, I think there's about 16,000 is the population, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. My husband's going to hear this and probably shout at me because he knows exactly the population. But, so it's nice. It's a lot. It reminds me a lot of the town I grew up in South Carolina. So, Easley, shout out. But, it's really nice. It's cute. But, like, it's kind of like Mel's, where there's not a ton of stuff. It's not as rural as her place is, but we're close to the beach, so that's nice.
What I find weird, though, is when I come out to Jersey and Carolina or wherever, it takes you guys longer to get places than it does me. And I'm out in the sticks.
Yeah, because we have traffic.
You don't have traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can get in the city in 15 minutes. And back out.
No, that's
you're
crazy.
You're also, like, on a flat grid system where there's no trees, there's nothing, there's no hills. It's just a straight shot.
Yeah, there's traffic now, getting one end of my town to the other. Like, it's crazy. It's just congested.
I was gonna say, you're out in the suburbs now. You're not in the big city girl anymore.
No.
Where are you?
I'm literally the closest you can get to the city while still living in Long Island. Like, the end of my block is Queens. So nice. I can actually see, I can see Queens from my backyard. that sounds like Sarah Palin. So I live in a little town, in Long Island that's all cops, and it's like really blue collar. It's all cops and firemen, and, everybody grew up here and stuff like that. It's cute. It's really cute. There's like seven pubs. City? There's like seven Irish pubs in this tiny town. Like, the whole street is just pubs.
What's your favorite city you've ever been to?
Well, I mean, it was always New York, but I really fell in love with Rome over the summer when we were in Rome. Loved it. Yeah. Aww. I really did like it. Oh, I have to say Dublin, too. Dublin's probably my favorite city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Mel?
I was going to say Rome was the most interesting I've been to. I like to be at home. So here.
Yeah, I really love Dublin. It's like, and last time we were there, we did a bunch of touristy stuff. Like, we did like the Viking tour, and we did all this kind of, you know, because we'd never done it before. My husband is from Dublin. Yeah. And so, like, we usually just go and sit in my mother-in-law's kitchen and drink tea for 2 weeks. But this time I was like, no, we're going to go and we're going to do stuff. And everybody was so nice to us, thinking like the tourists, like, they were so kind to the tourists, and they waved at us. And meanwhile, you know, in New York, everybody hates the tourists. Yeah. We hate the tourists.
Everybody's a fucking tourist.
We don't want you on the sidewalk. You're walking too slowly. Move to the side. But so it was really nice to be like, to see, you know, just everybody was like shouting at us, like, in their accents and stuff, and doffing their hats and making it sound old timey.
I love it though.
It was really cute.
It was beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to. Really, but cool. Eagle's there, so that's obviously what makes it so beautiful.
That I got to see her while I was there. We had dinner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you were texting us. You were super jealous the whole time.
Yeah, I was. You were with my bestie.
All right. So we're gonna go ahead and play the first installment of Breath of Fire by Catherine Nolan. I don't even think we talked about what the plot is. Okay, so it's God, we're no, so fucking terrible. Okay, no, okay, it's no, a yoga you did instructor.
Say it was a yoga instructor.
He's famous.
Yeah, in a made up town. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a famous yoga instructor that's got this big decision to make whether he wants to get this like big international television show. And his childhood sweetheart shows up while he's in the middle of trying to make this big decision. And like all these memories come rushing back, and you know, it's really sweet and sexy, and her books are so like emotional too, and she just writes like just very cerebral. I don't even know what that means. I just said it. Okay, so let's go ahead and play. Let's go ahead and play, and I will catch you guys on the other side. Bye.
Bye.
One. Sage. I'm going to be really honest with you, Sage, Rita said. I want to make you a metric fuck ton of money. And you think this TV show will be a hit? I asked, pressing the phone to my ear. Her voice was almost drowned out by the crashing waves in front of me. The sun was just beginning to dip below the horizon, painting the ocean shades of orange. A massive hit, she continued. A television show on the Vibe channel will skyrocket your fame into the stratosphere. You're too hot not to be on TV. You're the most famous yoga teacher in Los Angeles. Your celebrity client list is a mile long, and Sunfire has a 2-month wait list for classes. Your entire career has been leading to this opportunity, Sage. But who would watch a TV show about yoga? I asked, scanning the horizon. My gaze fell on 2 small cliffs off to the left. They jutted out over the water, tempting tourists and adrenaline-seeking locals alike to jump into the cold waves. Everyone, Rita squealed, because it won't just be about yoga. In a 30-minute show, viewers will get a short yoga class taught by you, the Sage McAllister, interviews with guests, lifestyle gurus, and the like. Then you'll hawk your merchandise, coffee mugs, t-shirts. Coffee mugs? I asked. These days, my life felt like a runaway train, seconds from exploding off the tracks. I was baffled by my own success, in awe of my celebrity, shocked at the millions of followers I had on Instagram, and the students who lined up for autographs after my classes. And I tried not to listen to the voice I heard in every truly quiet moment. Usually on my yoga mat at sunrise, the voice that whispered, stop. Rita was still talking. You'll have every piece of merchandise you could ever want and more. Besides, that's where all the money's at. We'll make sure you get a big piece of it. Merch, speaking appearances, guest teaching spots all across the country. This could be your life. I rubbed my hand across my jaw. Eyes narrowed at the cliffs. I was finally back home in Playa Vieja, for the first time in 6 years, and I was probably late for the class I was guest teaching at the yoga studio at the Bellevue Hotel. Being here, being home, made me think of Olivia. The memory of her hand in mine as we stood on those cliffs was so real, it could have happened yesterday, not 6 years ago. I remembered her bright laughter as she teased me, begging me to jump with her. The way she'd sprung from the waves afterward like a mermaid. Sage, did you hear what I just said? Rita's voice was a persistent whine in my ear. Of course, I lied, turning to see Finn waving to me from the studio. And listen, Rita, I've got to go teach this class. When do I need an answer to you by? 3 days, babe. This business moves fast, you know? 3 days, or we'll walk, she said. You'll have my answer before then. I promise. I hung up, having not one goddamn clue what I was going to do. If I called my agent right now, this news would have him cartwheeling through his office with dollar signs in his eyes. And part of me wanted to do the same exact thing. Instead, I walked toward the yoga studio, and a friend I hadn't seen in years. Finn Travis, I said, pulling the shaggy surfer in for a massive bear hug. He laughed, clapping me on the back. Finn hadn't changed since high school, still the laid-back, mellow guy with a huge heart and no fear. "How's the hotel going?" I asked. After a long, protracted protest against the project and its head developer, Finn had succeeded in convincing the company to develop a hotel that better fit with the spirit of Playa Vieja, while protecting the environment at the same time. And reliable local gossip told me that, in spite of it all, Finn had also fallen in love with his former adversary. "It's going great," he said, leading me past a beautiful lobby with large windows open to the pristine beach. "Avery and I just opened another eco-hotel in La Jolla, which has really taken off. We've made some improvements here, too, like our brand new lobby." For a second, my eyes snagged on the pencil drawings framed on the lobby walls, the delicate lines triggering something in my memory. But then Finn opened the door to their yoga studio, and I forgot all about the drawing. "And our brand new studio," he continued. "Whoa, Finn," I said. This reminds me of the place where I first trained. It's amazing." Finn crossed his arms and grinned, leaning against the bare white wall. The studio had light oak floors that stretched toward a stage. Behind that was an open wall, letting the sand and waves and sea air flow through the room. It was softly lit by the setting sun and glowing candles. No frills, nothing outrageous. The exact opposite of the glossy, expensive yoga studio I owned in Los Angeles. "Thought you would like it. Students are already lining up for you, dude," Finn said, giving me another slap on the back. "Find me later and we'll catch up. But for now, get up on that stage and work your magic." The next 20 minutes were a blur, as the waiting students filed in and crowded around for selfies and autographs. As a rule, I waited to sign autographs until after class, trying to maintain some semblance of peace and normalcy before our practice began. Although I was breaking that rule more and more. After the last picture was taken, I gently extricated myself from the crowd. As I flipped through my notes, I was aware of the electric hum of attention all around me. But this was an evening class, so I wanted them detoxing from their busy day. Peaceful, not intense. Right at 6, I lit the candles and settled into a cross-legged pose on my mat, facing a sea of overwhelmed faces. The room buzzed with restless, kinetic energy. After my call with Rita, this was what I needed. "Good evening, everyone," I said, straightening my spine. "My name is Sage McAllister, and I'll be your guest teacher here at the Bellevue for the next 3 nights." I inhaled, banishing all thoughts of the TV show. Exhaled. "I want you to raise your hand if you feel like you're always too busy." Everyone's hands shot up. I chuckled, nodding. "That's what I thought. I feel the same way, too, to be honest. On social media, it's easy for me to project an image of utter calm and transcendence. But trust me," I stood up, started strolling through a rainbow of yoga mats. "I get road rage in LA traffic. I watch TV when I should be meditating. I hyper-focus on those negative comments people leave on my Instagram posts." There was a ripple of laughter. "And why?" "Because we're only human. We're only human living in a society built to make us too busy. Which is why I need yoga so much." I moved down the second row, smiling at my students. "In this room, for the next 90 minutes, you have no job, no obligations, no one is judging your performance. There is no place you need to be except here. Everyone, take a deep breath for me. Inhale the meetings, the rushing, the anxiety, the stress. Inhale the uncertainty and the self-doubt. Inhale." There was a powerful, unified sound of breath. "Hold it," I said, counting to 4 in my head. "Notice the mat beneath you, the air on your skin, the sound of the ocean wave. That's all there is." Exhale. They did. A giant whooshing sound lifting my heart and my spirit. My own gentle reminder that beneath the TV contracts and the celebrity clients, there was a reason why I'd chosen this ancient practice. There is no place you need to be except here, I repeated, aware of this present moment, giving your body what it needs. I kept walking down the very back row of students. I'll remind you that taking child's pose, resting pose, is the most powerful expression of... I stopped, suddenly tongue-tied. There, sitting on a turquoise mat in the back corner of the room, was Olivia Wynne. Olivia, the mermaid cliff jumper. My dearest friend. My high school sweetheart. The woman who broke my heart. Her brown eyes locked on mine, widening in recognition. I heard a rustling, a few coughs, and realized I was frozen at the back, staring at Olivia. Years of desire and questions and regret and memories flooded between us in a room packed with other people. It's a child's pose. To rest is the most powerful expression of yoga there is. I stumbled, stepping back toward the safety of my mat and the stage. I couldn't be back there, so close to someone who had caused me equal amounts of joy and pain. Let's begin, shall we? I peeked down at my notes on the flow. One look at Olivia and my thoughts had scattered like marbles on the floor. We'll start on our backs. I led them through another brief, guided meditation, focusing on their breathing before beginning our physical practice. Sun salutations and warrior poses interspersed with deep, powerful stretching. This was usually the most serene moment of my day. There was no better feeling than standing in a room surrounded by bodies moving with dynamic energy. I was the eye in the hurricane, the point of serenity, as limbs swayed and arched, dipped and danced. But today, I only had eyes for Olivia, who had a yoga practice as strong and graceful as I'd always remembered her being in high school. It had been 6 years since she'd broken up with me, and I tried hard not to dwell on the loss of her from my life. As our eyes met, again and again, I saw defiance in her gaze. Surprise. Anger. She was still astonishingly beautiful. Her long, straight black hair was braided over one shoulder. One arm was covered in colorful tattoos, while bright bracelets danced up both wrists. She had the same splash of freckles across her nose, the same full, sweet lips. Why did you end it, Liv? Raise your palms to the sky, I said, aware that we were staring at each other again. I could see her breathing coming short and shallow. She arched an eyebrow at me, questioning, challenging. Feel like your fingertips can scrape the night sky, disrupting the star. Inhale. We were almost out of time, and I'd skipped or forgotten half of what I'd intended to do. Exhale, I said, then led the students through a handful of cool-down poses. They looked sated and happy, and I hoped no one was actually aware of my reactions to the woman in the back. I led them into Shavasana, corpse pose, the final rest before class ended. They were all splayed on their backs, breathing softly, letting go of any remaining tension. Olivia and I had both been born and raised here in the paradise of Playa Vieja, a funky beach town just south of San Diego. We'd always been friends as kids. And then, our freshman year of high school, I'd asked Olivia to the homecoming dance. Even at 15, she'd had a strong sense of self, knowing she was absolutely destined to go to art school in New York City. When I was 15, all I wanted to do was hold Olivia's hand and escort her to a silly high school dance. At first, I had been so nervous, I'd barely said a word. But I did get the courage to give her a long, lingering kiss at the end of the night. And when I pulled back, she touched her fingers to her lips and said, "Oh." Now, 6 years after we'd broken up, the woman I never stopped thinking about was here. Both of us, back in the place where we'd grown up, the place where we'd fallen in love. Slowly open your eyes, stretching your hands over your head. "Come back into your body, into this room," I said. I fought a flood of memories. Olivia sketching me on the beach our junior year, her eyes roving over my body with intense concentration. Olivia straddling me in the front seat of my car, kissing me breathlessly before racing inside to make her curfew. "There's one more thing I'd like to say about this culture of busy we currently exist in. Because I think one of the many negative impacts of a rushed life is that it can take us away from those things that are the most important," I went on as I walked through the aisles, watching students blinking and rolling onto their side. "It can take us away from that which we love the most. Whether that's a quiet hike in the woods, a peaceful Sunday morning with your dog, hot coffee on a rainy day." I swallowed, nearing Olivia. "And it can take us away from the people that we love." She was sitting up, cross-legged, and I was right there. Could have dropped to my knees and kissed her favorite spot between her neck and her shoulder. And really, what a tragedy. Rushing so much through life that you miss out on love. I kept walking, even though I could feel her eyes on me. "Raise your arms over your head and drop them in front of your heart. Take one last deep inhale." I settled on the stage, crossing my legs and bowing to my students. "Exhale. The light in me honors the light in all of you. Namaste." After a moment, I sat up, immediately looking for Olivia. But she was already scrambling up, packing up her yoga mat. I stood, compelled to speak with her before she left. But then the horde came. More students wanting autographs and pictures. To touch me, hug me, tell me their favorite parts of my class. I listened politely, nodding along. But for the first time in a long time, I really didn't want to be Sage McAllister yoga celebrity. An hour later, I finally said goodbye to the last fan, my cheeks aching from over-smiling. I raced outside, clinging to a shred of hope that Olivia would be leaning against the wall, flashing me her sly smile. But she wasn't. I was alone on a beach beneath a moonlit sky, the ocean scattered with the reflections of stars. I currently lived 2 miles from the beach in Los Angeles and never went. My phone chirped, screen lighting up with a message from Rita. "I look forward to your response in 3 days. I sighed, seeking comfort in the endless ebb and flow of the ocean, a sound I used to fall asleep to. I hadn't realized how much my heart yearned for the waves of Playa Vieja. And I hadn't realized how much my heart still yearned for Olivia.
Hey, you guys. We're back.
Hi. That's it. It's the first installment. What'd you think? Let us know in the comments.
So if you, I don't know if we've met Finn and Avery yet in this book. I think maybe they might show up in the second chapter, but Finn and Avery have their own book, the secondary characters in Breath of Fire.
I was wondering about that. Yeah. Okay. So when I was reading it last night, I was thinking, I wonder if these characters have their own book, because she casually mentioned them when they're going through the yoga studio. I think it's in the first chapter and they're walking through and I was like, oh, this guy sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. They have their own book. It's called Riptide, and it's on sale this week for 99 cents. So that's enemies to lovers, and there's a lot of angsty squabbles. And
I think all of her books are in KU, aren't they?
I think she's KU. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Riptide is 99 cents and probably free in Kindle Unlimited. And then she also has, Catherine Nolan also has a anthology called Sexy Shorts right now. It's $1.99 and it's got 14 sexy short stories in it. 14.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
All of them sound ridiculous and fun.
They sound really fun.
I can't wait to read it. She sent it to me yesterday.
She has a group on Facebook called The Hippie Chicks, and they have like all these discussions. They're like, okay, this is your safe space. Like, talk about what you want to talk about. And they do it every week. And
yes.
It's so cute.
Can I get in this
cute.
Group?
You should get in it.
What's the name of the group?
The Hippie
can
Chicks.
Can I get in it?
Yes, you're in.
And I can talk about all the things I love that are filthy. The secret things that I'll only text Mel and Tessa
Stop
late
giving
at
away
night.
Book ideas.
I know. Oh my god, Tessa, do you remember that bear video I sent you?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
And I was like, I mean, we're not gonna say what it is, but I will say, like, there's only very, very few amount of people that I would ever like share the soft underbelly of myself with. And what, you know, they just happen to meet Tessa and Mel. Like, I'll text this to you because I know there's no judgment. So, just
funny that you should say like soft underbelly when you're talking about a bear.
I like when she sends a link and she's like, "Don't scroll, just watch this video because the rest is really, really bad."
Yeah, the shit below this is awful. Like, you don't want those screenshots in your brain at all, but you want this short little clip. Watch this.
So she does these original stories, like, in the Hippie Chicks, like, she'll just put them out for free in the group, and now she's, like, combined them all into this anthology. So that's on sale for $1.99. So grab that up, you guys.
That sounds magical. Yeah. I love it.
While you're waiting in lines at stores, you can flip through
this. Yeah, your Kindle app.
Oh, yeah, because it's Christmas this week. Holy shit, that's right. Get your shopping done.
I think today is Christmas Eve on the day that this goes live, so...
Oh, nice.
It's making a
list. All right, Mel, what do they need to read while they're in line?
You're not reading anything if it's Christmas Eve. You're tolerating family.
Yeah.
But just in case you go into the room and you need to escape...
I have a Christmas list that should be up by now. Well, it is up now.
I'm pretty sure you put it out by now. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with installment number 2 of Breath of Fire by Catherine Nolan. And in the meantime, Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. It's the Christmas season.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good Christmas.
Read me romance. Read me romance.